Who was going to do it?
The
and the library.
I almost hesitate to answer because there were so many that did so much and gave so much. I think of three young men who had been involved in the building program, who were my staunch supporters during this whole thing. Leo Van Der Lant, Don Gill, and Marvin Pinker. They were always there. They were out in the community and getting ideas, getting some suggestions from people who would come to them. They were at the hearing. I call them my three musketeers to myself. It was also good to see them there. And whenever there was an intermission, they were all wondering what they might do, if they bring me a glass of water or what. Margot Herman was one of the leaders, and Mary Worthington was the first president of the Friends group. Robert Hamden, who at that time was pastor of the Congregational Church, and who at one time had been on the book committee. The day after this started, I heard a voice in the outer office saying, "It's Miss Collins in," and I knew the voice, and I went out with my hands outstretched, as it were, and said, "There isn't anybody in Long Beach I'd rather see right now than you." And he, through his church, gave great support. This is a kind of, it's really a community. It was an exciting thing. Or could have been if it weren't so, it's a pretty strenuous kind of time to, did that answer enough?
Yeah. Was after the fire down here and before the city council, was that pretty much the end of it?
No, no, they continued.
What did they do?
Well, they went to the council about that and other things. Members of this education committee group were always at the council fighting. They were always finding something wrong with our book collection or with our display. They felt that we didn't do nearly enough as public documents. And of course, they meant the public documents that had something in them that was beneficial to them. They felt that we should have many more copies of certain things and no copies of other things. And this kind of a needling campaign that was always with us that went on for quite some time.
Eventually
displayed away? I guess we would call it that in retrospect. And it never, of course, was quite so strong after the hearing, the five-hour hearing. They did certain things like this. The man who was at the really the leader demanded asked for a conference with me and the city manager, which of course the manager granted, and at that time he was objecting to the fact that we had the Time magazine every night in every branch. They had too many copies of it. That was the key thing, there were other things. The people who seemed to be leaders of this group demanded a confrontation with me and the book committee in which they could present their dissatisfaction, their principles, indict us. And manager granted this. The book committee and I, with Jack O'Neill, sat around a table with these five people, each of whom read a paper of indicting the library. And after it was over, they then hurled a question at me at the committee, which I answered, and obviously this is where the fun was going to start, in quotes, of course. You know, this is just give and take, this indictment against the personal vilification. And Jack O'Neill said that this ends the meeting. You requested the opportunity to present these papers. You have done this. Meeting is closed. So there was that kind of thing. Man whom I mentioned before in the manager's office recently demanded that we buy something or not buy something. And obviously, this is you need to be said, we always answered with dignity and with respect to them. Although sometimes in my office, we start to pretty harsh acknowledge from the other side of my desk that these people would come in with a special concern, something else that the library had done wrong.
Was there another class about
Peter
Miller and the topic of cancer?
I can't even remember.
Okay. How did the Friends of the Library react to this? Or, you said that they were started. And
mm-hmm.
they came to the book collection committee to offer another side to things. How else were they involved?
Well, they took a leadership role in the community and in the support of the library. They spoke, of course, at the hearing. And I probably should add here, since we're talking about the Friends of the Library, that they were showed great strength when it came to the building program, and really were very influential in getting the City Council to take the position it did finally in regard to having the library and City Hall. Our Friends of the Library has been a stronger group than in many places, and I think it really, because it came out of really deep need.
You said you don't remember exactly the five people who started it.
No. And I wouldn't want to, I can tell you a lot about all of them, but I would have to go back in my notes to get their names and in the library notes. And I wouldn't want to mention one without mentioning all five of them. They were a really an exciting group of young people right there. And then there was a meeting at a home in which maybe 30 or 40 women decided that they would this group of initiates decided that they would establish a Friends of the Library and lay out a program for themselves and elect and do what their role could be.
You said you were active in other aspects of community affairs and long at the time. Do you think that's one of the things that helped you when the censorship issue came up?
I'm not sure it did. I think that people who knew me personally knew that I wasn't about to sell a library down the river. But I think the help really came primarily from the people themselves, with the grand community, from the individuals who just phoned in. I mentioned two or three I could go on because it's been on for weeks. It started to before the dream, and it did, and you mentioned the last time Jesus Christ, and then of course, before the big hearing, it was a constant thing. We just had no idea how many letters I got, how many telephone calls I answered every day regarding it. And that day after I got on at the council, a young man in the beauty shop called and asked for me and my secretary. So I said, I go to City Hall. And he said, I just called to wish her well. I didn't ever even think about censorship of book collections in a library. But these last few weeks, all of my clients have talked about nothing else. And now I know. Psychiatrist who called to thank me personally for what I had done. But as I say, I think that the success and the strength of the whole thing comes from the community, people who cared enough to stand up and be counted. From the test telegram that logically would have been on our side, but to do the good thing, name names that we would not have wanted to be personally, and from a city manager that understood what the burning of the books can mean.
Did you anything else I should ask you about this?
How do you get it off of that then? No.
Oh.
I don't think so. I think I sometimes feel that you know, this thing goes on, and that it isn't anything that I should that should be mentioned anymore. I should be thankful for. But I realized as I was thinking of this interview that. Really, the hero or heroine of this whole thing is the community. It's the people of Long Beach. And I think it's good to remember in that it shows what a community can do.
Okay. If we're talking about that, you want to talk about your activities at the Yellow House Association?
Yes, and I am. Retired, I wanted to do something that would be an involved kind of a thing. And I had thought, well, there were several areas, of course, that I would be very interested in, but I thought I'll just sort of, you know, see what happens. I was on the mental health, the Council of the Mental Health Association here in Long Beach. And, so I had shown an interest in this, and just at this time when the new law was let into effect in Sacramento, the Lanham and Petras short law, which stated, among other things, that every county mental health department should have a mental health advisory board of professionals and lay people. And Burton Chase asked me to serve on that committee. That was really how I started becoming so very involved and interested. And sometime after that, I was asked by the governor, because of the recommendations from supervisors, to be on the advisory board committee in Metropolitan Hospital. And because I was involved here, I felt that I must become as much as I possibly could an authority in mental health activities in my community. And so I became a member of several other groups, the Long Beach Mental Health Committee, which has been a very strong group, primarily professionals, which has existed over the years, and the Liaison Committee of the Mental Health County Mental Health Services regional office here, and other areas such as that, so that I have been very busy a good number of times with mental health activities, and of course I found it wonderfully stimulating, and not only met fine people, but have learned in an area in which five None of us know enough or do enough because the problems are deep.
How did you choose that to become
involved in? Well, I just chose it because Urban Space asked me to be on the advisory board committee. You know, it could have been something else. Although I had thought at that time of doing lay work at Metro. And then, of course, this other came up and I got busy enough so that I didn't ever become very involved in a personal lay editing. Patient to put to put to the person as it were.
What do you think
this
accomplished?
You mean for me?
Well, for the community.
I don't think I could answer that. Probably somebody else on that advisory board could have done a lot more. Because I was free, as it were, because I wasn't involved in a job, I was able to give a great deal of time to mental health problems and mental health concerns. I expect the thing that the primary thing that it accomplished was that it gave me a wider understanding, a greater enrichment, which I think is a kind of answer one usually gives in anything that one becomes involved in, that is the benefactor in the long run of the person himself.
Okay. What about the
Long Beach
of the
Army
to get
buffed up to remind you? I've been involved in that, been on the board here in Long Beach, times I've been retired, and most interestingly, I'll put them on it, and enjoyed this for a good many reasons. One is that it is a different kind of a focus than some of my things have been, than I have to be personally involved and our community involved. And this is community involved on a different kind of a level. Well, I'm more apt to be involved in people in organizations or problem solving organizations that involve the people themselves. For example, the Bojack Fight Scholarship Foundation that I've been very active in from its inception, get funds for scholarships for people just begin, it's primarily black people, one of us, it's impossible for them to get scholarships. But the definition has always been young people who need help. They really aren't geared to getting one of the big scholarships, and who need somebody to tell them that they care and give them a bit of a push at the right time. And I've been quite active in the Fair Housing Foundation, which again is a kind of a people-centered thing. And this Long Beach Village thing, of course, is cultural. I've been involved in other cultural areas, but not to the extent that I have over the years. So people got together and were concerned because at that time, black youngsters are not getting scholarships. And Judge Miller was one of the people on that first line of stutter. Kenneth Lee, who's a principal here for the many years, and strong people in the community. They got together, formed this Don't Get White Scholarship Foundation. The names come from two black women who have done a great deal in our community. Mrs. White is still living and still most interested, of course, in this group. The white people involved wanted this to be a scholarship foundation just for black. And the wife said, no, has to be for all young people that have this special kind of need. And so from the first, there have been Orientals, Caucasians, and so forth. We started out giving a $50 scholarship and sort of scratched the bottom of the barrel to get $50. People's contributions, because people cared. And when the time came, we were giving $300 and then the time came and we got two of bequests and wills, one for $25,000, one for $20,000. So today we are still functioning and beautifully. We've seen during that time, of course, it changed. It's very easy for now for an exceptional life student to get help. But our definition has always been that we want to give scholarships to young people who seriously need and are striving for an education, a college education, but that we didn't want the AAAs, because they can always make it anyhow, but we wanted the people that would make good sound contributions, and as I say, we really needed help. And many times, young people have come back to us and told us how much it meant to have our support and our confidence at that particular time. And a good group.
And the Fair Housing?
Fair Housing Foundation, I was on their advisory board for a few years, and then had become an active board member for the last few years after I retired. And this is an organization established to help ethnic groups that are discriminated against as far as housing is concerned surmount that. And of course, our base is that we are helping the laws of regarding this, which are very strong and very definitely helping them function properly. There have been from time to time lawsuits and my one bird that turned in town has carried most of those for free. And the group started with just several concerned people getting together and realizing that this is something the community needs and establishing it, giving their time and energy and building from the beginning.
When did it begin?
Oh, here again.
Okay.
Let's say in the early 1960s. I could have it all right there in that folder, but I don't remember.
Proposition 14.
Oh, yes, I remember that. It began right after Proposition 14. I'm really very proud of these awards because I think in each case the important thing for me is that a very fine organization made it possible. And I think I talked about the award I got for the as a copy of the Christopher Hughes. Did I mention that?
You just talked about being on board.
Oh, yes. I got their second award that is a chapter here and there's a second year. It is the policy of the National Conference that this is indeed for each chapter each year to give a special award of merit for distinguished services in the community. To a Catholic, a Protestant, and a Jew. And I received that award. And then while I was still a city librarian, this other one was while I was still city librarian too, I received the award given each year by the Teachers Associates of Long Beach. And for someone who has been made a contribution along education lines, and they kind of gave me the award. They said it was for the interest in learning and in serving the community of learners, which I thought was really quite nice. And the Long Beach Council of the Teachers Association gave me an honorary life membership I got the, as I had said before, I have been very involved in the Mental Health Association, which is, you know, is a private organization, a national organization, and I received this distinguished merit award from the Los Angeles County Mental Health Association several years ago, but I thought the thing was best thing.
Maybe you could just stop talking
to each other. Which I think is especially nice, has the a logo, as it were, which is a bell comparable to the Liberty Bell, the idea being that the shackles that mental health people used to have to wear were pounded into this bell of liberation, as it were, and it says an appreciation by Collins Mental Health Association, 1975. It was sort of beautiful all on its own.
Yeah. I think that's what I was trying to get at when I asked about what your involvement in the Mental Health Association conference is, that you were fighting against certain attitudes in the community, or?
No. It's the thing that happens in the community as far as mental health is concerned. It's not a negative attitude you have to fight. It's just really complete indifference. And I don't think any of this so much was a fight as it was a kind of support and being involved, having making certain decisions for the community or for the county as on these various boards and as a member of the students. It's sort of an indefinable thing in a way. And I still am involved, but I'm not as active as I once was. And let's see, what else? The Chamber of Commerce, when I retired, gave me a plaque for community accomplishments and achievements. This is quite special, I think, and something I was really very proud of.
Why was it special because it was from the Chamber of Commerce?
Yes, I don't think they go out and do this very often. At least I hadn't heard of it, and they made it a very nice kind of an occasion for me, and I was surprised to get it.
Were they supportive
when
you started against this
issue? Eventually, yes. This is an interesting story in itself, and I expect you don't have time for it in this interview, but the group, let's call them the Education Committee, had board into the chamber too, and were quite active for a while, and until it really posed the problem for a little while, and until we sort of leave the vicinity, let's say, and see what was really happening. Well, got strength by being in certain committee, on certain committees and so forth. I think the chamber really gave us support, and they really finally understood that support was needed, let's put it that way. I'm an honorary member of the Altruista Club, which is one of the five international women's service clubs, as you know. And then the Riffraffers, which is a junior auxiliary of the Assistant League, and as you know, it's really very strong in Long Beach. Dave and their coveted Woman of the Year Award in 1974. Something that really has quite a place in the community. And then just 3 years ago, the Long Beach branch of the National Council of Jewish Women gave me their coveted Hannah G. Solomon Award, which is an award given to for service and dedication to the community. Hannah G. Solomon was a woman who did a great deal of work some years back and really dedicated her life to helping the downtrodden. And each year, this is the little beautiful bust that I have in the other room of Hannah G. Solomon. I think they valued this and just Rick Rucker. I guess I shouldn't put it that way because I guess they valued each as they came my way and have really happy memories of the people who made it possible, made them possible, and the friends they made. It's been a very rich experience, and I protested sometimes. I did from the Riffraffer. I was told about this. I understood the way it was presented, that they were just considering me, and I insisted that I had had awards in the community and that there were other people that they should be bestowing this award on. They looked sort of crestfallen, the girls that were with me, and then explained that it had already been done. Because they lied at me.
And you feel like that the Assistant League is strong and important in the community. Like, that's something I should know, but I don't. Explain to me what that means.
Well, they do. They act a bit somewhat like the Junior League, in that they train in this effort young women to become community leaders, and they have certain they take upon themselves certain responsibilities financially and so forth as we grow up in the community. I think all I need to say is that I'm a member of the Beta Phi Mu Professional Honorary Fraternity, which of course is a library fraternity, and it's like this kind of thing.
Okay. You talked about being involved as part of the library system in elections to try to get bonds or some kind of financing for a new library downtown. And that must have put you in touch with people who are involved in and other kinds of political issues. And is that what got you involved in the 1970 recall election?
What got me involved in the 1970 recall election was that John Mansell asked Don Gill and me to be co-chairman of the committee against the recall, feeling that we were two people whose names were known and that we would have weight in the community. And I was very glad to do this because my concern primarily was that I felt that a recall is a bad thing for a community. It tears community, it tears the city government apart. And even if all the reasons for the recall are good, there has to be a period of mending and of rebuilding. And it seemed to me that we have elections frequently enough that things didn't get so bad in between that we had to go out and do that to our community. That was my reason for being willing to be co-chairman. And I worked very hard on it because I had the deep belief that if you give your name to something, you too must give your energy and your time. It's not just something that is there. And that was an interesting experience, and I think that it was well at least one definitely that the councilman that I supported through that recall that I would necessarily have voted for them at the next election. I was doing it not for the individual people involved, but for what it seemed to me was good for my community.
Hey, do you
know
what the issues were that were involved,
or
apparently were involved?
No. There were several, but I wouldn't want to state them. I think that we'd have to go back and really, because they're the hot issues, you know. And indictments were made, and it was a time of person that was really conscious on in the council. People were causing problems to the council members, and not necessarily the ones that discovered the interesting, rather hard to understand why the one who was elected for recall was elected other ones.
But you didn't see what you like. Some kind of relationship between the people who were running the recall campaign and the people who were favoring censorship?
No, these were two entirely different things. Censorship was forgotten, and I doubt it. So the people who were involved in that censorship thing, that is, leaders, people that I could name, let's say the 5 or 6 or 7, really had sort of faded out of it. As far as being for the public eye is concerned, I think for various reasons, and I think this is true of all of us, we support something strenuously for a while, and then all of a sudden we realize the need isn't there anymore, and we simply don't help out on that particular thing. Also, since the extreme right area of the Republican Party has become so much stronger, since it was done in the last election, there isn't perhaps a need to talk why they've gone on to other things, and it's a different kind of an organization now, the most acceptable one, let's say.
Do you think that
the United States Chinese People's Friendship Association.
And how did you become involved
with that? In a very, let's say, casual kind of a way, a friend called me and said, "Would you be interested in going to China?" And I said, "Oh, I don't think so." And he said, "Why, Blanche, I can't imagine that. And I said, well, maybe you better tell me why it should be, and I'll look at it again. And why she was calling was because the local group of really nine counties that we were affiliated with at that time. I say we all, of course, I left them at that time, were planning to send a group, especially, on one of these tours to China, and it was to be a community leaders group, and she thought she could might be able to go under that heading, and that I might. And it, so we were interviewed, Luis and I had long questionnaires to fill out and so forth, and eventually, I think maybe 60 or 70 people applied, and I guess maybe there were 15 or 20 that were accepted, and I was one of the ones that was accepted, and it was to go then in the spring of next year. And of course, this is a time when people, the only way to get to China about us to be somebody very, very important with a very special purpose, or somebody in this organization, which I became a member of. This fell through, that the group was not able to go. It really didn't ever get off base, as it were. But I became so interested that then I put my name in to go at one of the regular groups, and about a year and a half later I was able to go. It was an interesting time to be in China. It was just after the earthquake. It was, in fact, our group, our trip was postponed several times, once because of the earthquake, and then we were realigned and it was postponed again. And then one day, 2 days before we were to start, we even had our tickets. It was canceled again.